Too many people in the New Age believe that the Pleiadians and other space entities are real entities, as space aliens, and not Nephilim demons or fallen angels. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In her book, Comes the Awakening, Leah Shapiro presents the information she learned from the Pleiadians as a matter of indisputable fact, as though what she shares should be common knowledge for everyone. She assumes a great deal that the Pleiadians are real entities, as space aliens, and not Nephilim demons or fallen angels. She speaks of soaring through the various layers of the universe as if on Aladdin's magic carpet, and during that time, mysteries of the universe were revealed to her. Now, unfortunately, these particular mysteries are all relegated to the area of religious thought. The emotions of love, joy, and peace were hers to experience. And apart from her emotions, though, what did she actually learn about the universe? She learned nothing, nothing at all. She gained no insights into anything outside of herself, and anything she was told was simply presented to her as fact, and she never took the time to question any of it. Now, on the other hand, what we do know about the universe is what science tells us and what the Bible tells us. But what do we know about the universe? Does the Bible say anything, or must we rely totally on science? Even the Pleiadians do not rely on science to explain the expanse and mystery of the universe. They rely on feeling and experience to teach what they know. Fortunately, the very creator of the universe itself goes much further in providing insight into the truths of the universe. These truths are understandable, and they come to us from the very Word of God. Now, recently, in researching for the book I wrote called Nephilim Nightmare, I happened upon a wonderful article by a man named Gaines Johnson, who's a Christian geologist. His article titled The Firmament, Third Heaven, and Structure of Things Biblical is excellent in many respects. Now, it's been released as a book, and you can pick up a copy of it through Amazon.com. It's called The Bible, Geology, and Genesis. And again, that's by Gaines Johnson. Now, I don't believe it was by accident that I happened on his page, and specifically the article that he wrote. I wrote him asking for permission to quote a good portion of it, and he was kind enough to extend to me that courtesy. Now, the reason I'm including a good portion of his article here is that he explains from Scripture what God has revealed to us regarding the mysterious phrase, the firmament. You know, there have been many articles written on the subject of the firmament, with most authors unable to come to any solid conclusions regarding the nature of the firmament and its actual purpose. Mr. Johnson's article struck me for its clarity, and I didn't feel like an idiot as I read it. I actually understood it. Johnson obviously knows about that for which he speaks and is able to make it simple enough for people like myself who don't have a background in science to understand it. And when I finished reading it, so many things simply fell into place for me. I can't thank him enough for putting his thoughts to paper, as it were. I would encourage each reader to avail himself or herself of the information on Mr. Johnson's website. There are many articles, all equally well done. So, we know that the creation is explained to us in Genesis chapter 1. Oh, and by the way, before I go any further, let me just point out that his website can be found at www.kjvbible.org. That's www.kjvbible.org. Okay, now we know that the creation is explained to us in Genesis chapter 1. We know that God refers to 24-hour periods of time, which many take to mean eons of time. Now, if that was the case, though, there would have been no need for God to qualify the word day with 24 hours. The fact that the narrative includes the 24-hour reference indicates that what God meant was that he portioned up creation into actual days, measured in periods of 24 hours each. The man who wrote the article to which I refer, from which I draw the information, references Genesis 1, 6 through 8, which states this, quote, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, of this, Gayne Johnson indicates, quote, on the second day in the Genesis narrative, the Lord calls for there to be a firmament in the midst of the waters, to divide the waters. Now, that can be kind of confusing when you just read it. But Johnson goes on to point out that in these verses, it is clear that God created something called a firmament. Of this, Johnson states, quote, the term firmament and its identity has been one of the greatest puzzles concerning the creation account, mostly because of its Hebrew definition. And here's where he quotes Strong's Hebrew definition number 7549, which is properly an expanse, that is, the firmament, or apparently visible arch of the sky, firmament. And again, Strong's Hebrew definition 7554, a primitive root to pound the earth as a sign of passion, by analogy to expand, by hammering, by implication to overlay with thin sheets of metal, to beat, make broad, spread abroad, forth, over, out, into plates, stamp and stretch, unquote. Now, that's a lot of verbiage here, but I remember reading books and commentaries by numerous individuals who could not state for certain just exactly what a firmament is in actuality. Even Chuck Missler stated, quote, the word firmament is a problem. What is a firmament? Nobody knows. What are the waters? Nobody knows, unquote. And that's from his book, Learn the Bible in 24 Hours. Now, because of that, numerous definitions or attempts to explain the meaning of the firmament exist. Frankly, I have yet to read a better understanding of it than Johnson's. He states, quote, most people interpret this to mean just the expanse of the sky, the atmosphere, or outer space, or both, which it is. But the full meaning goes well beyond that simplistic interpretation. The creation of the firmament is associated with the placement of some sort of structure, unquote. Now, it's interesting, though, because I started off this time together today talking about Leah Shapiro's book, Then Comes the Awakening, and how she soared through the expanse of the universe, and she didn't really come away with anything except feelings of joy and love and worthwhileness, whatever you want to call that. But she wasn't really able to explain things in a sense that people could understand. So I'm comparing what she had and what she experienced with what people like Gaines Johnson are right. Now, this is exactly how theologians normally present the firmament. I think that Johnson has a bit of a leg up on this because of his background in geology. And he continues, quote, many modern scholars consign the term firmament as a relic of a pre-scientific culture and translate the Hebrew word rakia, rendered as firmament in the King James Version, as a dome or vault in some modern Bibles. The problem that puzzles people is the implication in the Hebrew language of the firmament being a firm, fixed structure. In other words, firmament. That structure can be explained in the context of the rune reconstruction interpretation of Genesis, unquote. Now, another point that Johnson addresses is connected to the firmament. It has to do with the waters, which at one time are said to have surrounded the earth externally. He explains it this way, quote, young earth creationists have interpreted the waters above the firmament as a theoretical water canopy, which once surrounded the earth, but no longer exists, and their source of the waters of Noah's flood. This is incorrect, and that's Johnson speaking. He believes it's incorrect, and, quote, a concept that does not exactly hold water, pun intended, when closely examined with the literal framework of the Genesis narrative. The reason is due to what is stated in this passage. And the passage I'm going to now read is Genesis 1, 14 through 16, which says this, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made stars also, unquote. Now, frankly, if not for Johnson's understanding here, these verses would still be slightly confusing to me. I'm grateful to him for his ability to understand what God has described here. Johnson explains it by saying this, quote, this verse says that the sun, moon, and stars are in the firmament. Therefore, applying the rules of grammar and logic, those waters that are above the firmament must be above the sun, moon, and the stars. That means these waters are above the visible cosmos. For something is a hard pill to swallow, but that's exactly what the Bible is saying, unquote. Now, the scripture from Psalm 148:4 is then referenced by Johnson, which reads, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." Now, that's an interesting concept. The Bible is telling us that there are waters above the heavens. What has always been a bit difficult for me to comprehend is the way in which the universe has been created. Is there a structure to it? Well, we know there is, but if so, what is the structure? Well, Johnson believes, he understands that Scripture teaches that there is a specific structure to the universe. Quote, "The Bible says that in the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, all wisdom and knowledge is found." And you can see that in Colossians 2:3. "The same holds true for the Holy Scriptures, the written Word of God. According to the Scriptures, there is a physical, spiritual structure to the universe." The Apostle Paul refers to the importance of this knowledge in the book of Ephesians, where he wrote, and here are the words from Ephesians 3:17 through 19, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Unquote. Now, in considering the Ephesians passage that I just read, do you know what Paul is referring to there? Admittingly, I need to read Paul's words 3, 4, or 5 times before they even begin to make sense. Paul is as concise as he can possibly be, yet some of the concepts he espouses require a good amount of verbiage. The book of Romans, for example. Here, Paul is speaking about dimensions. Is he speaking of the dimensions of the love of Christ? Quote, "Pay close attention to the structure of grammar." Paul is speaking about two different things in this passage, and I'm quoting Gaines Johnson here. "The first is the structure of things, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And the second is to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." The important key word here is in the conjunction "and," which separates the two clauses. In other words, Paul is saying that there are two things the believer can and should know. One, the dimensions and structure of all things, which can be defined. Two, the love of Christ, which is beyond full comprehension by man. A corollary to the truth of this passage is found in an Old Testament proverb, "The heaven for height and the earth for depth and the heart of kings is unsearchable." And that's Proverbs 25:3. Now, Johnson further narrows things down for us. And again, I'm reading this, I'm you know, quoting Johnson a lot in his book because we're comparing this with the ethereal qualities that are often presented to people in the New Age from groups like the Pleiadians, these spiritual entities which are outside our dimension, and they're trying to instruct us on the things which is in their dimension. That's why I'm going back and forth to Gaines Johnson and the Bible. And he further narrows things down when he says, "The firmament deals with the structure of the present heavens and earth," Genesis 2:1, "as opposed to the structure of the original heaven and earth," Genesis 1:1. There is presently a 3-heaven structure. I wish we had more time to go through this, but we're going to continue with this next time because it's that important. There is something that the demons in the spiritual world don't want us to know. The Bible, however, wants us to know. Well, between now and the next time we meet, I pray that the Lord will bless you mightily and that he will open your eyes to show you how blessed you truly are. Until next time. Hi, this is Dr. Fred of Study, Grow, Know. All of my books are available as free downloadable PDFs, but if you'd like a hard copy of one of my most recent books, Under Grace, simply request your copy by sending any donation amount to us at Study, Grow, Know, P.O. Box 1592, Hampton, Georgia, 30228. That's P.O. Box 1592, Hampton, Georgia, 30228. Your donations help keep Study, Grow, Know on the air and expanding into other venues. Thank you.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.